Greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast, the Facebook community, Football Addicts. If you haven't joined the Football Addicts community on Facebook, please do so. It's a thriving community. It's growing exponentially every week. There's just cutting-edge analysis, so many good personalities into the group. So, yeah, I really recommend that you join the group if you haven't done so already. My name is William, and I'm joined with Bakesy. How you going, mate?
Mate, I'm well. Thanks for inviting me back. And I guess we need to have a moment's silence for everyone who didn't have Sergio Aguero in their side on the weekend. I'm thinking maybe 3 seconds silence is okay for a podcast.
Yeah, I think that's good for that podcast. We'll do that now. Awesome, I think that'll do. I felt bad for them, but then 3 seconds later, I stopped feeling bad for them
because they should. And possibly another 1 second for those who did have him and failed to captain him.
Okay, we can do that now. All right, that's done. Awesome. So you captained him, didn't you?
I did, and we spoke about it last week, and I think we both came to the same conclusion. Yeah. So he had to be captain. Newcastle have been, they've been okay. In fact, the match was quite interesting. They were one up, would you believe? They were 1-0 up and should have been 2. And then suddenly City ran riot with KDB, Aguero and David Silva, between them just, providing for Aguero's 5 goals. KDB scored a screamer himself and ended up 6-1. So Aguero, 5 goals. I think he's the third EPL player to do that in a match, and a massive 25 FPL points, and obviously 50 if you had captain. And I saw someone on Facebook had actually put the triple on him, so he's looking at what, 150, is he? 75.
Yeah, 75.
Mm. There was one player I saw had 164 points.
Mm. Was he? Did he have the triple captain on him?
He had the triple captain, and I think he had his entire team was just a team of complete stars. It was it was quite unbelievable. He obviously had De Bruyne in there. He had everyone scored. Mata, I think he had Sanchez. He had the whole box and dice. So. Yeah, the points were there. I personally got 99 points. So how did you go?
I ended up finishing on 108 with
100.
Yeah, with a hit. So if you take 4 points off, it's 104. So I think that is. I'm not sure. There was a game week, not last season, the season before. It was a double game week, and everyone scored over 100. I think Suarez scored 4 goals and Yaya Toure scored a bunch of goals. But I think, I can't remember, 108 might be my biggest score.
Biggest score ever, right.
In the history of FPL, I think. But it's just funny. Saying that, for those fellas that captained, or put the triple captain on Aguero with the 75 points, that's more points than I've scored in a single game week this season so far.
Oh, absolutely. I think my top's about 40, so that's great.
Yeah, so it was a good game week for the majority of players that have some kind of nous in the game. If you didn't captain Aguero, I think it was going to be, and especially if you didn't have him, you were going to be in a world of pain. I can half empathise with those that didn't have him because... And it's interesting, the last 4 games, he only had 2 shots on target. Now, that's a pretty poor stat. There was an article on the Fantasy Football Scout blog where a community member engaged in some analysis, and he worked out, of the past 3 or 4 seasons, and he worked out which attacking metrics coincided with goals. So basically, he was saying, which stats... you can use to predict future goals. And the one stat that came out as the most accurate and coincided with the scoring goals was shots on target. Whether a player has been getting shots on target, he's going to score.
So there was another person in the community who was saying that we shouldn't have him because he's not getting shots on target. But at the same time, it's probably a little bit ignorant as well. We know what Sergio Aguero is capable of. And if you had been watching the games leading up to the Newcastle game, I think we all knew he was going to explode soon. And his stats weren't as good as Sanchez's. I think he was still getting shots away inside the box. He just wasn't getting the shots on target. And yeah, so I can sort of half empathise with those that didn't have him. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I've been playing this game long enough to know which players you should be patient with. And Aguero is certainly one of them. He has so much talent. His movement was so good. And he's surrounded by a fantastic supporting cast. It was David Silva's first game back in a couple, and he was just, you know, incredible.
Silva, it's pretty obvious by now. I've got a massive man crush on him. I hate City, but I love David Silva and wish he played. Out of all the players, I wish he played for Liverpool because... Yeah. I can just imagine what, you know, Sturridge and Benteke be doing with Silva in the side. Mm. Yes, he only got two assists, but, you know, he's often the guy who unlocks the defence but doesn't get any FPL points for it. So he's often like two passes away from the goal. I know Kevin De Bruyne got at least one of his assists where really Silva had unlocked the defence. Kevin De Bruyne gets the assist, Aguero gets the goal, Silva gets nothing, but it was... Merlin himself who really provided the key. And as we spoke yesterday, like once he comes back, you know, he really makes City click because not only does he unlock the defence, but because he's so good at retaining possession, he gives the defence the time to breathe and to set themselves. And so they just look much better defensively. As well, and I think you'll find that Kevin De Bruyne really enjoyed being on the park with Silva. I think it's about the first time they've played together, I think.
I think so. Yeah, I think you might be right there. And so in terms of owning, as a Silva owner, because you're a Silva owner as well, aren't you?
I am. It's probably, you know, the way I feel about it is if I can't win it with Silva, you know, so be it. I have to have him. It's such a weakness. You know, really, I should be upgrading him to Sanchez, all the smart money is. But I do really just love the way he plays. So yes, I hold him.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be holding him as well. I am a bit worried. I just on current form in terms of shot volume and the shooting statistics, De Bruyne is beating him at the moment. And
smashing him, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they've only played one game together. I mean, Silva's consistently going to get you points. I think De Bruyne probably has more potential to explode. So, but I think it's, and it, that trade, I mean, I've entertained the idea of trading Silva to De Bruyne, but it's probably just a bit sideways. I'm in the same boat. I like Silva. Right? I've had him a few times, and yeah, he's a fantastic player. But there's no shame in keeping them, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting that what you're saying about shots on goal is just key. I mean, Aguero's just suddenly racketed up the table on shots per game. You know, home is now third in the league behind Coutinho and Pele, and away he's not even in the top 10. So you can see overall he's fourth. So just that one game... has really turned him around. People had every right not to have him in their team. Mm. I know, you know, we discussed Lachlan last week. He played his wild card. He didn't bring Aguero in. Mm. You know, I couldn't blame him for that. The stats were not there. He had to go for the guys who were shooting and were shooting on target, and Aguero just wasn't there. So it really did come out of the blue, but when it came, it was big.
It was big. All right, so... We'll look at the results. We're going to be going off a different schedule today. So we're going to be looking at, because it's the wild card week, we're going to be looking at just the results in the weekend, go through the games, have a bit of a talk. And then we're going to look at each team just quickly and just sort of give a verdict on whether you should, if you are wild carding, whether you should invest in the defence or the attack of that team. So as I said before, this is our wild card special. So... I think it's fair to assume that this will probably be the week that a lot of, like, if you do have your wild card, it's a decent week to do it. I also like, I think it's game week 11 or game week 12, which is another game week where a wild card could be used because there's a big swing in the fixtures of some big teams. But, I mean, if you don't have Aguero and if you want to get Sanchez or you want to get De Bruyne, this is probably a good week to play your wild card. Me personally, I've already played it. I played it in game week 3, and I've had Sanchez and Aguero and Silva, I think, since then. So yeah, I guess I've been lucky in that. I've been nice. Patient with them. I was never tempted to get rid of Aguero. I was tempted to get rid of Sanchez at one point, but his stats were so good, and I was patient with him, and he's come good for me. So that's what we'll. And then after we've looked at each of the teams and given our verdict and whether it's worth investing in the defense or the attack, myself and Bakes have devised our own imaginary wildcard team. So feel free to copy it if you like. And then if you do well, make sure you quote us when you're doing your bragging later on in the season. I think there's a fella, what was his name? I think he's actually coming first in the Football Addicts community. I, at the start of the season, and it's a bit of luck as well. I called Mahrez. I said, I think Mahrez is going to have a good season. And I was a bit lucky, really. I look at his stats last season, they're pretty good. He was in and out of the team, and I thought they've got a new manager. And I thought, I think Mahrez is going to have a good season, and he's exploded. So anyway, a guy on Facebook tagged me in a post, and he said, oh, I want to thank William for picking this dude, because he was the reason why I picked him. And I thought, oh, it's nice that he said that. But yeah, it's a bit of luck, really. I mean, football's just such a dynamic game. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in, I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you picked an absolute winner there. But, I mean, I guess the reason why we're doing the wild card is, it is the international break now. We've got 2 weeks. The cream is rising to the top, including your man Mahrez, who's been at the top all the way, but he's consistently been there. But we're seeing Sanchez light up the EPL. We're seeing Aguero. Kevin De Bruyne's come in and settled well. People have had a look at Martial for a couple of days. A couple of weeks now. The top players are starting to perform. It's if you haven't played your wild card and you're sort of looking and maybe you've invested a little bit too much in defence like Lachlan did last week, or whether, you've got Hazard sitting there and a few guys who just, their stats aren't good and their form isn't good and their body language isn't good and their team's not performing. People like Sterling as well, you might have a bit invested in there and he's just not producing the numbers. Now's the time to really have a look at playing the wild card. And the reason why we're going to air a bit sooner than normal this week is if you want to play your wild card, you need to play it early in this period, even if you're undecided about a few players, because the bulk of the players that you're going to bring in are going to be popular. And they're scoring well, so they will rise during this period. People will sit down, they'll have a look at their teams, and, you want to bring in a Sanchez. Well, he's probably risen 0.1 or 0.2 since the weekend. If you want to look at Aguero, he'll be rising. Pele, I know that I was looking at doing a double trade. I slept on it, and Pele moved 0.1, and so he's gone for me now. So you really need to, if you play a wild card, you really need to get in these popular players. And even if you sit on them and change your mind later, at least you've got them as a backup. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the way I sort of go about it. You can actually make a fair bit of money when you play your wild card at the start of a 2-week layoff. People really sit down and go through the stats and there's a lot of trading activity, and I think it's very important to play your wild card early.
I think
if you're going to play it.
I certainly agree. I think particularly for this 2-week period, primarily because Aguero and Sanchez have exploded and Pella has just broken onto the scene, Mane has just broken in, and as you said, De Bruyne has broken in. I think historically for me, when the 2-week international period has started, in theory, it's a really good idea. I think, probably like, say the last six or seven or so international periods, the market hasn't moved as much as I thought it would. But for this one here with Aguero and Sanchez, it's going to. So I think this international game week is probably the best international game week to use your wildcard. I played mine in the last international game week. What was it, game week 4 or something? And there wasn't a great deal of movement. But because at the same time, even though there's 2 weeks, it's kind of like you've got the 1 week and lots of trading, whereas in the 2 weeks, it's like the same kind of trades, but they're just spread out. But I think with the Aguero and Sanchez explosion, this is definitely the best international game week in a while to do to do your trades. I think also, there's a funny little thing when you're playing your wild cards, it influences the market differently as well. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but yeah, it's just international game weeks are funny like that. But yeah, if there's any game week where you're gonna, any international game week you're gonna play the 2 week period, this one's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. I played my wild card in week 3 because I was really struggling. And it was quite funny because that particular week there was something like 300,000 people played their wild card, and I made $2 million really quickly. I think my team's sitting at 104 million now.
Is it?
Yeah, and it's all from that wild card where I bought in, you know, the Mahrezes, I bought in Payet, bought in Kolarov, just when they were starting to get a little bit of traction. I think Mahrez had moved up 0.1 at that point. Kolarov hadn't moved, and these guys just absolutely took off, and as a result the team value really just took off over the next few weeks. So yeah, I mean, timing is important, and I think that I just happened to be very lucky that a lot of people played their wild card after 3 weeks, just pulled the trigger on it, and as a result there's a lot of trading activity, and you can keep the eye on the pricing at fplstatistics.co.uk.
Yeah.
That will give you a bit of a hint as to when players are going to go up and down.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more accurate as well. That was a bit of a settling in period there, because a few seasons ago, the main websites were, I think it was fizo.co.uk and Total FPL. I think last season, the algorithm from Fantasy Premier League completely changed, and those websites are pretty well dead now. But yeah, FPL Statistics is the website to go to in terms of market predictions. And it's getting, I think I looked at it this morning, and it was like a 98% accuracy of when the player's going to fall and rise. So yeah, that's definitely good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I just look at it now, and I've got, you know, players in the top 10 which are moving. But importantly, if you hit target, you can look at the players that are about to go down. And you know, last week that was really a key decision for me. I took a hit of 4 points, and I dropped Pedro, and I bought in Walcott. And I mean, it was a good move in that I got the 4 points back plus some. But I avoided a 0.2 turnaround because before they kicked off, Pedro dropped 0.1, and Walcott had gone up 0.1. So I saved myself 0.2. I got the 8 points from Walcott. Pedro got 1, I think, and only had limited amount of time on the pitch. So they're the sort of moves that you really got to sort of keep your eye on. Is it worth 4 points? Difficult to know.
And you predicted that. But I mean, I think you were worried that Pedro wasn't going to start. He didn't start, did he?
No, I was worried about Pedro. I was worried about Bakary Sako, and they both didn't start.
He didn't start. I was a bit more surprised with Sako, I think. I mean, he was playing well. He's dropped off a bit. But I think, it's a bit of a...
It's just that Zaha, they've got too many players that play the same position. Zaha is playing well and was man of the match. He was fantastic against West Brom and deserved to be there and played the house down. So they've got, you know, they've got Bolasie, they've got Sako, they've just got too many players. They've got Punchin in there. And they, you know, they play with a proper centre forward as well. They play with Gale up front. Marcus. I was hoping they'd drop Gale and put Sako up front, but Gale scored twice in the Capital One midweek, so he sort of retained his spot, and Sako just got pushed out. I mean, he's got great stats in terms of shots on target. I think he's in the top five for most of the season, but they've just got too many good players, and Zaha needed a chance. So you know, Sako missed out. And then Mahrez didn't play. Now, I still don't know why he didn't play. I don't know if they were resting him.
I think Ranieri came out. Ranieri said something like it was a tactical decision. So I'm not too concerned. I mean, I certainly wouldn't get rid of him. And
well, they won without him, didn't they?
Yeah, so have to watch out for it. But I think he'll start again. Who'd they play again? Was it Norwich?
They played Norwich. They won without him. But you know, could have been a bloodbath with him.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not too concerned. He might drop him again in another 5 weeks, but I wouldn't be getting rid. It'd be a big risk to get rid of him. It could pay off. Like he might not do much for the rest of the season, but it's probably too much of a risk.
Yeah, it's almost like with such high ownership, it's almost like if you've decided not to captain him, it's almost good that he doesn't play, because people that do captain him, you might leapfrog, depending on who their vice is.
Yep. In the virtual sports real dream team game that I'm playing, I started Mahrez and I kept Bolasie on the bench. And so it turns out Mahrez didn't start, and I found out Mahrez didn't start after the Crystal Palace game had concluded, and I found Bolasie had scored a goal. And in the real dream team game, it's a stats-based game where I think it's like every three tackles they get a point, every two shots on target they get a point, blah, 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 just some stats, points that they did. And Bolasie got 22 points, which is a really big haul. So,
wow.
So as the Leicester-Norwich game was progressing, everyone was saying on the forums that, oh, Mahrez will come on soon. He'll get on the field at some point. I'm thinking, oh, God, I hope he doesn't. Because I've got Bolasie on the bench, and it turns out that Mahrez didn't come on, so I got Bolasie's 22 points. Now,
oh, that's nice.
In the virtual sports game, Bolasie's like under 1% ownership as well. So,
oh wow, difference.
Yeah, my overall ranking went from like 600 to 115th or something like that.
Sweet. Well, so I was in the same boat. I mean, I got to the 80th minute, and I was there going, you know, they're up. They were up 2-0 against West Brom, and I was there going, do not bring Sako on now, like, just to run it out and get 1 point. Like, I want to, you know, I had Gomez on the bench. I know Gomez didn't do anything. I got 2 points for him, but, you know, he did play the 90 minutes, Gomez, in the end. So he was the other guy I was worried about. So he did play the 90 minutes, but didn't score. But, yeah, that's your worst nightmare, someone coming off the bench and playing 10 or 15 and doing zero.
I think, is that Liverpool's Gomez? Oh, no, Swansea.
Swansea,
that's right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Swansea. He's played the full game, didn't he? Yeah. Cool.
Gomez is in this team.
The Watford keeper, the Liverpool defender. Yeah. All right, so we'll have a look at some of these games. Look at Villa and Stoke. Stoke get an unexpected clean sheet. I mean, Villa aren't too bad attacking-wise, so I was a bit surprised by that. Unfortunate for Butland not to get any bonus points, but, you know, a clean sheet from Stoke, 6 points, can't complain.
I was so glad Butland as well, so, yeah, very happy.
Mm. All right, move on to Bournemouth-Watford. I think I predicted a Bournemouth when Glenn Murray missed a penalty. So
he did, yeah, it was a good save.
If he had Gomez, he got the penalty save, so that would have been nice.
I think he's a bit of a penalty specialist, isn't he? Someone said.
I'm not sure. He could be.
Yeah, I think he saves a hell of a lot of penalties. Okay. He's a good keeper. Yeah, I mean, I thought Watford were going to keep it clean and Bournemouth were going to struggle, but Glenn Murray. He played well. He got a good header. Had a sighter or two, then got one in the net. Could have got another one and missed a penalty. So Bournemouth were surprisingly bright. I thought Watford were going to clean them up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Bournemouth, I mean, who are they missing? They're missing Max Gradle and Callum Wilson. Like, they're big players. And, you know, Gradle was probably their marquee signing, him and Tyrone Mings, and they're both injured. So, certainly predicted that Bournemouth are going to struggle. But, you know, they got a draw at home. It's not too bad. I think Bournemouth probably will struggle now. I mean, they've got 8 points from 8, and they've had, like, a really, really good opening set of fixtures.
and 8 points from eight. You know, it's not bad, but it's not great. And their fixtures they have turned now. They have horrible fixtures now. So
yeah, stay away.
Yeah, that reflects in my wild card. Yeah, there's no Bournemouth. There's no sort of Maroon anywhere in there. All right, City Newcastle. I don't think I have to talk about that one much. That was the game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Leicester Norwich. So Vardy produced again. So that was good. I brought him in this week. My transfers this week were Pedro out for Payet, and then Wilson out for Vardy.
Did you take a hit for that?
Yeah, a hit.
You had to.
So yeah, well, I was stoked. Vardy got the bonus as well.
Yeah.
So instant return on the hit, and you know they look good. Their fixtures aren't too bad, and Payet still producing, so that's good.
We both did well. I mean, I bought Vardy in as well for Wilson, and I had plenty of cash, and yeah, put Walcott in for Pedro. They both paid off for me as well. So Vardy, the champion.
Yeah. Could you have afforded Sanchez?
Yes. Let's not talk about it.
I think I still think that's a good. I would even consider doubling up.
Mate, we'll talk about it more in the wild card.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, but that Walcott's love. He's a good differential. He's still got two assists. He played well.
Yeah, he's only got 3.5% ownership too.
Oh, that is monster differential. Yeah,
no, he's leading a top two team from the front line. So,
and if you I'll talk about him more later. Yeah, his stats are fantastic too. Cool. So let's move on. West Ham, Sunderland. A bit of a surprise, I guess. West Ham again, inconsistent. You know, they slaughter massive teams, but they just crumble. To lesser teams. Payet produced again. He's so good. He got one assist.
He got a goal, didn't he? But I think was it a pen? I think it was a pen.
It was a rebound.
Rebound. Yeah, okay.
He was just one of those things. He seems to be in the right position at the right time.
And then he still gets the 3 bonus points. That's what I love about him. Yeah. He's just getting bonus points left, right and centre. Mm. He's got 11 bonus points so far in 8 matches. It's just an amazing stat.
Yeah, that is good. And, yeah, in the current landscape of the almost defenders almost dominating bonus points, I guess, he's doing really well. Yeah,
Jermaine Lenz scored an outrageous goal, but then got sent off.
Now
West Ham didn't finish them off. They are Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they?
They are Lenz got sent off quite early. I think it was almost at the end of the first half, or if it wasn't at the end of the first half, it was very early in the second half.
Yeah, there was plenty of time left. Yeah.
It was before Payet scored, and Payet scored in the 60th minute. I know that much.
I think it was just at the start of the second half.
Yeah.
West
Ham, they should have finished them off. I agree. Cool. Southampton-Chelsea. Yeah, Southampton just go there and just win and don't really care about it.
So, the funny thing is Willian is scoring, isn't he? He's scoring these wicked free kicks that either miss everything and find their way in, or on the weekend he just nailed one. He's the only guy in form in Chelsea. Yeah. It's quite unbelievable.
Hazard gets another assist, but that's an assist for the free kick, so it doesn't really count. It's always good when you get a player that gets one of those assists. But if for a player like that, Hazard, that has big ownership, and you don't have him, it's just really annoying.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious. The week after we talk about Pele and call him a donkey and say that he's, you know, you're not going to get any bonus points. You're not going to get any assists. He's just a finisher. You know, he's got four in the last two weeks.
He's got four.
Three bonus points and four assists and a goal. I mean. My God, he's just on fire, that guy.
We've got that one wrong. But that's
assists as well. Yeah. Just chesting them down and providing for his teammates. Mane is just a beast and continues to be a beast.
Mm.
So, yeah, they're looking good, Southampton.
Oh, they are. They're a good team. They've always been a good team. And despite, you know, all the bashing they copped in the media at the start of this season, the start of last season, the numbers have always been good. They've always been a good team. And they're starting to flourish in terms of the goals being scored. They've always been taking shots. They've always been, you know, conceding, you know, minimal shots on target. But you know, it's just starting, it's just coming right for them. And yeah, I like them. I love watching them. And I will be bringing in some Southampton coverage this week, without a doubt. All right, Liverpool, Everton. Oh, that's right. Rodgers got the sack, didn't he?
He did, yes. Mm. And Klopp's the man.
Yeah, it looks like it. Interesting.
From what everyone's saying, I think Ancelotti's made it clear that, you know, he's not interested or wants a year off or whatever. So Klopp's done quite well at I think it was Dortmund. It seems to be quite well received. I don't know too much about him, but it seems like the hardcore Liverpool fans who know no more than me are very happy that he's coming. So I think Rodgers has had to go. He just hasn't adapted. And I think that, you know, just looking back, like the guys like Suarez just really sort of papered over some big cracks there, just crying out for some creative players.
Yep.
Yeah,
cool.
And a fresh set of ideas.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few players that were mainstays under Rodgers that I think are going to find themselves looking for another club. I think at the end of the season, I think he's going to if he does come in, he's going to really sort of do some major surgery, I think. So that'll be interesting. I was annoyed that Lukaku scored. I think of any player that I wished wouldn't score, it was him, and he did.
Why is that?
Oh, he's high ownership, and I don't get him, and he's just a troll, and he shouldn't be scoring. Danny Ings has been playing not too bad.
Yeah, he's been combining well with Sturridge.
Yeah.
I thought he bombed a few chances as well on the weekend. By and large, they are combining quite well. It's going to be very interesting when Benteke's back. Obviously, Benteke's the big name, and everyone is wondering how Benteke's going to play with Sturridge.
Especially with Klopp coming in as well.
I think Benteke's got a few strings to his bow, so I think he's quite a skillful player. He's not just the header of the ball.
That's evident, isn't it? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm. Be interesting.
Yeah. All right, and on to the big one, the other big one, Arsenal and United. I've just started watching the replay, and I'm up to about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you what, Arsenal have just destroyed them. They made them
Manchester United, didn't they? Just start so slow.
The defense was terrible. Like, it was, you know, Ozil just ran around them. They weren't you know, blocking the passing channels. They had nothing. They played deep and they sat back and they got punished. And they were just too good. And the fact that what's his name, Van Gaal played, it was a Carrick and Schweinsteiger. They have like no pace at all. And they just got ripped to shreds. They gave the Arsenal midfielders way too much space, and it showed in the scoreline. And I think from what I can tell, I mean, they've scored three goals in the first 15 minutes or something. It could have been a lot more.
Oh, mate, the pace. I mean, these were not fluky goals. These were all well crafted, pacey goals with through balls and the ball really not leaving the deck. You know, the pace in Arsenal is just frightening, isn't it? Mm. I mean, Sanchez, Walcott, you know, even guys like Bellerin coming in from the back, very, very quick players. They've got their holding midfielders. I mean, Cazorla is playing as a holding midfielder.
Mm.
You know, he's the guy. I mean, what a guy to have as your second man in the pivot with Coughlin, who does all the hard stuff. You've got the guy who has provided the most assists in the EPL since 2012 sitting there in your double pivot, and in front of him you've got guys like Ramsey, Walcott, Ozil, Sanchez.
Yeah.
It's just an incredible team. I mean, I just see them and Man City and then daylight, really, at this point.
Yeah, they're definitely, that's where you want your coverage, I think, going into the next few weeks. And then we've got Swansea and Spurs. Eriksen scored two goals. Did you see this game? I didn't watch this one.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the highlights.
Yeah. Was it two set pieces?
Two set pieces. The first one should have been saved. The very poor keeping from Fabianski. Basically, if he didn't move, it would have hit him. So I don't know what he was doing.
Not sure.
It looked like sort of Eriksen hit it with a bit of curl, and it just went straight. And kind of moved behind the wall and got unsighted. The second one was just an absolute corker from just about the same spot.
Yeah.
Drilled it top right. There's nothing he could have done about that. Eriksen was in great form, actually. He was shooting from everywhere. He really had it between his teeth. On the Swansea side, he scored another, got back on track with yet another headed goal. And then Harry Kane scored an absolute shocking own goal off a corner.
I haven't seen it.
Off the side of his boot, straight in the back of the net. I got the feeling that Spurs had Swansea on the ropes and couldn't quite finish them off. I think Spurs are very strong.
Yeah, no, we've spoken about Spurs in previous episodes, and I think that they're starting to sort of come good for me, and Eriksen's come back and he's in a bit of form. A draw away at Swansea isn't a bad result. I mean,
no. They
probably, I thought I would have picked, I spoke to a few people and read a few articles, and I think the majority were saying that, this is the game that Swansea's going to come back, and I disagreed. I predicted Spurs to win, but a draw away at Swansea down in Wales certainly isn't a bad result.
Yeah, pretty desperate Swansea too, I think.
Yeah, actually, especially before this game, I'm even still considering bringing in Harry Kane, because he is 16% ownership. Like, he's not a super differential, but he has sort of a differential thing about him. I mean, a lot of the fantasy managers that are in the upper echelons probably won't have him. I wouldn't mind betting that his ownership in the top 10,000 isn't that great. It probably wouldn't be more than 10%. So in the top 10,000, he probably is considered to be a bit of a differential. I was thinking about getting him in because I do think Tottenham are starting to turn. Then he scored that own goal. Now, I'm not sure. I mean, he's a professional. I don't think that's going to really hinder his confidence. I think confidence is a funny word as well. But so I'm still considering bringing Harry Kane in. I've just got enough cash for that. But for me, it's between him and Pella. So, I mean, it'd have to be a no-brainer to pick Pella in, but I've just got Kane just sort of floating around at the back of my head, just, you know, thinking, maybe.
Oh, I think Kane's a very good decision. I was surprised not to see him on the score sheet after that. After that big win last week over City, I thought, he did score in there. I know it was a ricochet shot, but it's just the kind of game and just the kind of pumped up atmosphere gets on the score sheet to get him going. He worked so hard.
Yeah.
He deserved that goal. He deserved more. And I think that he is going to turn at some point. It's just a matter of picking it. So it's whether you go for the guy who has got some form on the board in Pele, or whether you sort of think you might pick a run. So and then get a jump on the field.
Yeah.
Hard decision.
Looking at their shot statistics, they're really similar. Actually, they're very similar. They have the same amount of, this, within the last four game weeks, they have the same amount of shots on target. They have the same number of goal attempts. So it's just that one scored three goals, the other scored one goal. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, I think it's a good pick. I probably will go with Pella just to be safe. I mean, I think being the start of the season, I think playing it safe is probably a wiser decision. And yeah, but I think, yeah, Kane's he's still there. I mean, you know, he seemed to, you know, he's a bit of a forgotten man. Like, his ownership was really high. It was in the high 30s at the start of the season, and now it's down to 16%. So it's halved. So I think people have really started just forgotten about him. And I think if you do get him in, he does start to fire and score goals. He will be a differential for you. But
absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think he's a good choice. I think he's a very, very good choice, and one out of the box. Not my favourite player, but there's no doubt at some point he'll go on a tear, and you want to be right there when he does, because he's already 9.2. So there's a barrier there anyway. If you can afford him and you've got the likes of Aguero and Sanchez and Silva and you can squeeze Harry Kane in, well, real point of difference there. Interesting one for you.
It is. All right, let's move on to part two of the segment. So we're going to go through each team and just quickly give a verdict on whether you should invest in the attack and or the defence. So we'll just go through alphabetical order. So we'll look at Arsenal attacking. Yep, obviously, I've even suggested doubling up. Their fixtures are pretty good. Would I go with their defence? Yeah, I probably would. I wouldn't even mind taking a risk and getting in Gabriel because he's pretty cheap and I would say that he's almost nailed on. So, yes, for me, for attack and defence for Arsenal.
100%.
Cool.
Couldn't agree more.
Awesome. Aston Villa. Well, their fixtures not they're bad, and they've just lost to Stoke at home. So defence definitely no. Attack probably not.
I can see them dropping this year.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, they haven't looked too bad. They started okay. I mean, they usually do start okay and then they drop off. And yeah, I don't think, what's the manager's name? Tim Sherwood, I think. He's a bit of a maverick and he's a good personality, but I don't think he has the talent for a Premier League team.
Yeah, I remember last year they were coming third or fourth for quite a while and then came up against a tough run of fixtures and dropped like a stone.
Yeah.
And then got involved in a relegation battle. I think Tim Sherwood's great for a relegation battle when, you know, you really need hard on your sleeve performances.
Yeah,
he's quite an emotive kind of coach,
yeah.
But I'm just not sure that he's got them firing consistently.
I think if you want sort of a different kind of fifth midfielder, I might see you could spend the extra 0.3 or 0.4 for, is it Scott Sinclair? I think he's nailed on at the moment. I could be wrong. Actually, I don't think he's completely nailed on, but I think he played the last game. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Anyway, so yeah, that's a no as well. I wouldn't even bother when there's better options elsewhere. All right, Bournemouth. Fixtures have turned. They've lost a number of key players. Their defensive statistics they're pretty good. They've, in terms of conceding shots inside the box, they're the third best over the last four game weeks. But yeah, they've lost so many players. Actually, they've still conceded quite a number of big chances. So that's a determinant.
They've got a back called Francis who, you know, is a really good player. And has the potential to provide an assist, but I really think their clean sheets are going to be few and far between.
Yeah, I agree, yep. So, and if you're on a wild card, I probably wouldn't bother getting in Francis, but, I mean, if you've got him you're not playing your wild card, I wouldn't get rid of him.
No.
No for defence, and I probably a no for, I mean, no for attack. There's Glenn Murray, he's a budget striker, but there's better budget strikers in Ighalo and Vardy, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Chelsea. I'd just say just no for everything at the moment. They can't buy a win at the moment.
Yeah, where do you go there? They're in the Aston Villa tub. I mean, they're coming fifth last.
Yeah.
On 8 points. I mean, wow. They're only ever going to be a couple of wins away from sort of safety, and then a win or two away from knocking on the door. But can you see them? Top four, you got Man City and Arsenal, I think, are the two best teams in the comp. United are going to do enough to be in the top four. And then
that fourth spot.
I just can't see Chelsea making it this year.
Mourinho hasn't been in a position like this ever.
Yeah.
With Chelsea. Since he's been there, he's never been in a position where they've lost, they've just performed so badly. Their numbers are bad. I mean, their numbers look like QPR numbers. They just don't have anything. Hazard is just doing nothing. There's just nothing going on. And it sort of looks like the players are turning on Mourinho, that Mourinho is just, he's losing his mind. He's lost all sense of, you know, logic and reality. I mean, he's always been a numpty. And I think when Chelsea are winning, his post-match interviews, they're quite humorous. And he's got a bit of swagger. But at the moment, he just looks like... just a, I don't know.
Well, he looks all clean cut. Like when they're winning, he looks like he's just, you know, sort of leaked in at 3 a.m. from the pub. but yeah, he's all clean cut and he's all business at the moment, isn't he? He's, the last interview he had after the last game, he talked about, you know, if the board want to sack me, it's the worst mistake they could make and things like that. It wasn't about the game at all. So quite defensive. You know, it told me that there's fight in him. I got the feeling that he doesn't want to go and he wants to see it out. So, but realistically, I mean, I reckon there's probably three teams that will vie for that fourth, and that would be Spurs, Southampton and Liverpool, that have the depth, you know, to make it through. Maybe Everton.
Southampton.
Now, realistically, they're only two wins away. So we are a long way away from home.
Mm.
So they could make it. It just doesn't look likely.
No.
They have to turn things around very quickly.
Very quickly. Yeah, I agree. All right, Crystal Palace. They're playing really well. I think both. Yeah, why not? I mean, the fixtures. They've got West Ham at home. Leicester away. Yeah, not too bad. Man U at home. Why not? Liverpool away. So I mean, they're a bit tough. Then they've got Sunderland. But it's not too bad.
So they've only got two tough ones in the next six, and they've only conceded 8 goals.
Yeah.
And that includes games against Chelsea and City. So. They're surprisingly good at the back. They were one of those teams I thought, oh, you know, you'd have a look at their attack.
But not that, because I think Pardew came out a couple of weeks ago and said that we don't care if we concede, we'll score more. But, you know, they sort of starting to shore up. And, yes, I would say yes for both.
Yep, at this stage, yes.
Yep. All right, Everton, I don't know, just...
And give them 2 weeks and jump on board the Everton bus. I hate Everton. I'm a Liverpool supporter, they have got the most unbelievable run of fixtures.
Game week 11, yep.
Yeah. It is absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. Do you have it there?
There's game week 11, the Sunderland at home, West Ham away, Aston Villa at home, Bournemouth away. Crystal Palace at home, game week 15, Norwich away, game week 16, Leicester at home, Newcastle away, Stoke at home, Tottenham at home, and then game week 21 is Man City away. So they've got
load up. Yeah. Is the other thing. So and the thing is that they are competing now. They are competing. They're in a rough trot. And they are competing. They've only lost once all year.
They've done very well despite their fixtures. And so I think if you haven't got your wild card, I'd be planning trades over the next few weeks and looking at getting in an Everton, some kind of Everton coverage, whether it's Lukaku or maybe Ross Barkley, even though he hasn't been playing very well. I think Gerard Deulofeu has just come onto the scene. Hopefully he will start to get some more starts. He should be starting. He's got so much talent.
I think that'll be the difficulty. I mean, I'm looking at their defence. I mean, Jagielka's dropped to 5.4. I think he's really good value.
Yeah.
I think Stones is a super player. They've got Galloway playing, but I think he might, he's at 4.5. But I think he'll lose his place. I think he's left back, so he'll lose his place to Baines.
Baines should be back by game week 11.
Yeah, so probably don't go there. I think Coleman's a super player. He's been out for a while, but he's like picking a midfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at Lukaku at some point if I can get him in.
Yeah.
Even more so now that I know that would really annoy you. So. and Barkley, I mean, started off on 5. I always liked Barkley, but just have to see how he, as you say, just have to see how he goes over the next couple of weeks. Yeah. But if he finds a run of form, look out. Well priced.
He needs to be playing well. He's at that age. He's been around for a while, and he's always been touted as being the next Gerrard or whatever. And he needs to start playing consistently. He had a good start to the season. He looked pretty good. He sort of dropped off a bit now. But we'll see. Their fixture's turning.
He's got a shit haircut.
Oh, the army haircut, yeah.
Straight out of the army. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's pretty woeful. Cool. Leicester, yes, I mean, you need Vardy. Well, I've got Vardy and Mahrez. Defence, I'd just say no.
Big no.
Yeah, but yeah, attacking coverage, I think. I would. It's probably almost essential. I mean, they're just scoring lots and lots of goals. They scored, at least two goals. They played Arsenal and they scored two goals. So they're scoring at least two goals a game.
Yeah, absolutely. And they blowed up on attack.
They're shooting a lot. I'm not sure, it's like 15 shots a game or something. So yeah, they're good, definitely. All right, Liverpool.
Liverpool. I've got next to Liverpool. I've got the.
Wonky. You're a Liverpool supporter. Wonky fixtures.
Bad fixtures, bad run, like a bad time to drop your manager. I would have held on to Rodgers for a couple more weeks, got through a bad patch, and then let the new manager take over in a blaze of glory as we climb out
game week 15
of mediocrity. But no, the new manager's got absolutely no favours. They've got Spurs who they're in pretty good form, and they've got Spurs away, and they've got Southampton at home. Got Chelsea away. Chelsea be pretty desperate. Yeah. So there's three really poor fixtures.
Yep.
Straight up. I mean, Crystal Palace, they're just not playing well enough to challenge these teams.
No.
So our new manager is going to be great. Just have to see how things settle down.
If you're on your wild card, I wouldn't be getting anyone in.
No. The only person you could consider is Sturridge.
Sturridge, yeah.
I only say that is because at some stage, Diego Costa must be a factor in this competition. And if you've got Sturridge, you've got that investment up top, you know, you can switch over to Costa, relatively easy. Like, they're going to be similarly priced by the time Costa fires up. So if Sturridge was to go on a bit of a run, you'd probably, you know, if that's part of your strategy, you can sort of move from Sturridge to Costa and have that big sort of expensive forward. But that's about it at this point. I know Coutinho's got the stats, but... I think there's better value.
Yeah.
In the 8 to 8.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so as well.
Just pick anyone from Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right. Let's move on to City. Yes for both.
Yep.
That's pretty. Yeah, and it's
you'd pick six of them if you could.
Yeah, that's just if you could. Yeah, pick double defense: Silva, De Bruyne, and then Aguero. But I think with FPL, you're limited to three players. And I think if you were gifted with free choice, it'd be Aguero, De Bruyne, and probably Kolarov.
Although he is testing my patience.
He'll come good.
Yeah.
He should have got an assist. If Bonny could put a ball away, he would have got at least one assist. Bonny should have scored that header. All right.
Yeah, he needs something.
Yeah, he needs something. He'll be right. He'll come good. All right, let's move on to United. Fixtures, they've got Everton away, Man City at home, and then they've got really, really good fixtures. I've still got Martial, and I'll probably be getting rid of him. I really wanted him for that Sunderland match at home, and he got the assist, so it was a little bit underwhelming. But for me, I never thought the United defence were too good. I think I may have said in previous episodes that I thought they were coming good, but I watched a few of the games at the start of the season. Yeah, they got the clean sheets, and Smalling racked up those reactive type stats. But as a unit, I didn't think they were too cohesive defensively. And I think they were really exposed by Arsenal. They really exposed how slow they are, you know. And for defence, I'd probably say no. I think, you know, you could probably get like a 4.5 defender and they'll get you more points. In terms of attack, I think Mata is still probably the only option. I'm halfway through watching the United Arsenal match, and I think that was going to be a good outlier for me in terms of to see how United were going to play against a really good team like Arsenal. And I haven't seen Mata too much, but I still think Mata's a good option. If you're on a wild card, I probably wouldn't get any United attack because there's better value elsewhere. But I would be planning to bring in someone game week 11 because their fixtures turn. In game week 11, they've got Palace away, West Brom at home, Watford away, Leicester away, West Ham at home, Bournemouth away, Norwich at home, Stoke away. And yeah. So their fixtures, I would be planning to bring someone in. I think I would like to hold Martial through Everton and City, but I need Southampton coverage, and I don't want to sacrifice any of my midfielders. So Martial is going to be the fall guy for me. But at this point, I'll just say no.
Yeah, I think that you're right. In defence, they're a mess. They're playing blend in, centre back. They've got Young on the left, and Young's been playing in a real attacking 4-3-3 formation for them.
Yeah.
Finds himself, left back. Darmian got replaced on the weekend. I don't know much about that. Sanchez
totally
terrorising him. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he got dragged.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the second time Darmian has been exposed by a good attacking player, and he's been replaced early. Blind was terrible. Blind, he was out of position. He just looked. I think it was for the second goal. He wasn't even dragged into the middle. He just wandered into the middle, and it was like Walcott and someone else that were completely unmarked in that half space, just like in front of the goal, and he just left them to do whatever they did. He was so bad.
It's like Manchester United, a team of defensive midfielders. Like their entire team are defensive midfielders. Yeah. They got Blind, they got Schneiderlin, Schweinsteiger, they got Carrick. I think Herrera. Not sure, but they're all just the same kind of player.
Yeah.
I think actually Mata's a good choice. Not only does he make everyone play well in that team, but he is going to be picked week in, week out because he actually holds that team together.
Yeah, he's the brains, that's for sure. He's the intelligence. And, Smalling's not a bad defender, but he really needs a general. He needs someone to lead him around the park. And Blind's just not doing that. I mean,
Blind... 6.3, though. Crikey, that's a lot to spend on a defender.
Who's that? Is that
Smalling?
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was so much because his price would have gone up. That's right.
Yeah.
So at this stage, no. But yeah, I would consider I'd probably consider bringing in a United defensive coverage when their fixtures turn, because even though they're probably not that good defensively, like for some of these lower teams, they're just going to choke them with possession. And they'll keep cleans. Because they won't do a lot of defending, because they'll just keep possession and they'll score a goal and they'll just keep possession again. I think that's the way Van Gaal wants to play. Very boring, but probably with a team with
84 defensive midfielders,
it's going to be boring. Yeah.
Yeah, they will be able to win and keep possession against these low teams, no doubt. It's a good call.
Yeah. So hold off 2 game weeks. Reconsider that position. All right, moving on to Newcastle. Fixtures are the best fixtures you'll ever see. But I think anything with Newcastle is just not good at the moment. No. It's just, they looked good for the first half, but they conceded like 5 goals in 20 minutes. Just hold off. Being a Newcastle fan, everything's in disarray. McLaren doesn't seem to know what he's really doing. Just hold off. There's not much more to say about that.
You're going to still bring in Yamart?
No. No. He had a poor game. He was exposed big time. All right. So let's move on to Norwich. They're a pretty funny one. I have no idea.
Only if you're looking for budget to round out. Found it your defence, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at defensive rotations before, and they sort of don't seem to rotate with anyone. Let's look at their numbers. Their defensive numbers are terrible. That they've conceded the most shots in the box over the last 4 games, so that's pretty bad. They haven't kept a clean sheet in the last 4, so I probably wouldn't. I think
the cheapest defender's 4.5, but you may as well lump for a Watford defender or a,
Watford,
you know, spend the 0.3 and get a West Brom or even a Crystal Palace defender. I prefer them over Norwich. I think in terms of attack, there's a couple of players I'd keep on my watch list. Maybe Houlihan, even though he's not going to start. Nathan Redmond isn't starting. I don't know too much about that. I think in terms of talent, I thought he was probably the most talented midfielder, but he's not starting at the moment. They're probably the only two midfielders I would consider, I think. But there's this new guy. I'm not too sure how to pronounce his name. I think it's Mbakani. They signed him from, I can't remember now, it's on the mainland. I think it was, might have been Dynamo Kiev or it could have been Salzburg in Austria, I'm not sure. But he came in, he has a good pedigree, he has a good goal scoring record from his previous league, and I think he started, what's his name? Mbakani or something. Mbakani, and I think he's not a bad pick as a third striker. I mean, if you're on a wild card, I probably wouldn't get him in, but he's certainly one to watch. And he's at an ownership of 0.0%.
So, yeah, well, he's scored against Leicester.
He scored against Leicester.
He came on the second half and scored, didn't he? So
32 minutes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So
5.7, well priced.
He would have replaced Cameron Jerome, and I can see him taking a spot.
Do you think Jerome's position's in danger?
I think so. I mean Jerome, like he scores goals in the championship, and he didn't look too bad. Like he was getting shots away in meaningful positions, but I think Norwich signed this fella to start eventually, and I think he's going to get his spot. So he's one to watch. But, I mean, you're not going to commit surgery to get some of these players in. There's just too much value elsewhere. So it's a no from me for attack and defence at this stage.
Yeah, me Norwich. Too.
Cool. All right, let's move on to Southampton. So yes and yes.
Yeah, both. Yeah, I mean, the annoying thing about Southampton is that they are always sort of conceding one, aren't they? So they do look sound at the back, but they do let that goal slip. They're sort of a little bit like Manchester City at the moment. They are, you know, look great in attack and then let a late one slip and sort of you lose all those clean sheet points.
They have had tough.
Their attack is fantastic. I mean... It's the Pele and Mane show. I know Tadic chips in and gets a lot of points and then goes quiet for a few games and gets a lot of points. You have to be patient with Tadic. But Mane is pretty consistent at the moment. I think his last three games he's produced, and Pele's on a tear.
I think the defence will come around. I think their numbers, their defensive numbers are good. They have probably been a little bit unlucky. I think they'll start getting clean sheets. That's my prediction. I think.
Yeah, I mean they rank behind City and United for the shots conceded per game. They let under 10 shots per game.
Yeah.
They're conceding, which. You know, that's really solid, and that's got to translate into some clean sheets at some point.
I think it will. I think in the last four game weeks they've conceded the least shots.
Yeah.
So I think it's coming around the corner, and I would if I had the cash I would invest in Bertrand.
Yeah, I think Bertrand. I mean, we just talked about him yesterday.
Yeah.
He's back. I think he. I think he got full. He got through the full 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably enough, really, if you're looking at it.
Yep.
I think Van Dijk's a good option. Target's done his dash, but the other ones would be Fonte and Cedric.
Yeah.
I think Cedric's sort of got dropped for one game, but since then he's come back with two 90-minute efforts. So I don't think they'll change too much now. They're playing really well.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so, yeah, they are a good one. All right, let's move Who comes next? Sunderland. Nah, they're just no, probably.
Stoke? Stoke?
Oh, Stoke, or? Sorry, yeah. Nah, probably not. I wouldn't. I'd Butland's probably a good pick. I think he's still a good pick. If I was in a wild card, I'd probably still have him.
Yeah, either him or Gomes, I reckon.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm pretty happy with him.
Yeah. At this point, the fixtures are pretty good. Hopefully, they get a couple of clean sheets.
They've got a guy, Arnautovic. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, something like that.
He's played well the last couple of games. He's got, two assists and a goal.
Yeah.
And a bonus point. And he sort of, doesn't play the full 90 minutes. But I think, in Shaqiri's absence, he's really sort of playing on that left role.
Yeah.
Marauding forward, providing assists, taking on players, dribbles and key passes. He's a guy to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I've liked him. I was considering bringing him in as a differential for the last two game weeks last season. I think his attitude is a bit of an obstacle for him. I think he can be quite childish and he gets wound up very easily. And I think that he doesn't communicate very well with his teammates. But at the same token, I like him. His stats are usually pretty good. He takes shots. He skyrockets a few of them, but I like him as an option as well. I definitely agree. He's one for the watch list. And I think Diouf was stretched off, but I don't think his injury is as bad. But if he is out for a period of time, I would hope Bojan will get that striking spot, but I don't think he will. I think Hughes will just bring in John Walters again in the striker spot. But yeah, I mean, there are a few options there. I just don't think they're as free-flowing as what they should be. With the amount of talent they've got there, they should be scoring more. But I think, if there's any option that I would consider, it's probably Arnautovic. And if Bojan was listed as a midfielder at 5.5, that would be a great pick. But because he's listed as a striker, that makes it a bit funny as well.
Yeah, I wish he was going better because he'd come into play. If I was going for a two-striker sort of setup, he'd be one of the guys I'd be looking at closely.
Yeah.
I just like him. He's just a little guy who you say that Arnautovic has a bad attitude. I reckon Bojan's got a great attitude.
I think,
He looks like he's really enjoying it. And he's just a little skillful guy, but he's a guy who can score and... I'd be quite interested in him, but he just has not done enough, and he's not playing 90 minutes.
Yeah,
which just affects that decision really. You want people sort of rusted on. They do have a couple of cheap defenders. Cameron is 4.5. He's playing 90 minutes regularly, not scoring a terrible lot. Although he did get the clean sheet, it was against Aston Villa. But apart from that, Stoke are just not in form.
Mm.
That's the thing. They're just not doing much.
No, they're not. All right, Sunderland. So just a no. Has Dick Advocaat left? I think he's left or he's going to leave or something. I don't know what's going on. But, it's just a no. They're just terrible.
I think he's out of there. As soon as someone picks up that hot potato, he's out of there.
So. Yeah, I think he's finished.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah, all right, so just no one know.
No.
Swansea, I think I bagged him a bit last game week. I still, if you're in a wild card, I wouldn't be bringing anyone in, but if you're holding AU, I'd definitely be keeping. Gomes, I'm not too sure about. I don't know. You've still got Gomes, don't you?
Yeah, I've got Gomes. I was just working on other things. Now he's become probably my main problem. So he'll go at some point. But
fixtures are pretty good.
Okay, fixtures I think from memory. So
yeah, they do. Mm.
I'm tempted to hang on to him. I just want, I really want to get Lukaku in. So I'm just going to hang on to him while the fixtures are good. He's dropping rapidly like a stone since he got benched. Yeah. And because he hasn't done anything in the last few weeks, everyone's really dropped him. So that's hurting a little bit, but I'm prepared to weather it. As soon as he gets back on the bandwagon, everyone will jump back on because there's not too many around. It's 7.0. that you can jump on. So he's 7.1. He started on at 7, went up to 7.5. Now he's back down to 7.1.
Wow, so that's rapid, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone jumped on and everyone jumped off.
Yeah.
So I'll just keep him for a couple of weeks, and then hopefully he's worth something. Hopefully he's worth over 5, and I can get in Lukaku.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think patience is good in this game. I think that that's a good scenario where patience will be rewarded. I think the Lukaku transition will be a good one. Let's move on to Tottenham. So I think yes and yes, their numbers are good. I'd probably, if you're going to sort of get some attacking coverage, Eriksen would be the pick. We've spoken about Kane. That's a bit more risky. Eriksen's probably the pick. In terms of defence, it's looking like Ben Davies, I think he's 4.7. It's looking like he's nailed on, but there's still that slight sort of threat from Danny Rose. But it looks like that Danny Rose is there for the cup matches. Looking like Ben Davies is slightly nailed on. But I would, if you're going to bring in a Tottenham defender, I would probably pay the cash and get either Alderweireld or is it Eric Dier?
Yeah, I agree. I think Tottenham are good across the park at this point.
They're looking good.
Yeah, Eriksen's the pick in midfield. He plays central. He pulls all the strings. And he was unstoppable on the weekend. He needed just a few games to get fit. I mean, he's missed a bit this week with injury. This year with injury. In defence, they're the two standouts, aren't they? Underworld and Eric Dier. I had Rose for a fair bit last year. He did quite well for me.
He did do well last season. I'm not sure what's happened there. But it's looking like Pochettino is keeping him for cup matches. They look good, but I mean, I haven't really analysed, you know, how good Ben Davies is defensively. But yeah, I think, I mean, Danny Rose was a good pick. He was a good player. He had a lot of potential there. So, it's good that, you know, Davies is getting that time. It does gives us a cheaper option. Well, he's the cheapest option from the top, sort of a top six, top seven team. Yeah.
He's only missed one game, Davies. He's hardly moved in price. So he's under the radar. You've unearthed an absolute gem there. 1.2%.
Yeah, he's a bit of a differential. I think he's not a bad pick. I probably would, if you've got the cash there, I probably would get someone like Alderweireld or was it Eric Dier? But yeah, Tottenham, I think they're a good pick, and I think they're starting to come good. Pochettino, you know, with his, you know, philosophy or whatever, or the way he likes to play, I think it's sort of starting to pay off.
Absolutely.
Cool. Watford, Arsenal at home this game week, so I mean, that's not a great fixture, but I would say defensively, I would say yes. They have an expected goals against, according to this Paul Riley model, their expected goal stat is 9.31, and that's the best, like, from all, you've got all these teams, say Newcastle, Chelsea, Norwich, West Brom, Stoke, West Ham, Villa, Everton, Leicester, Man United, Crystal Palace, Watford have fared better defensively than all of them, according to the expected goals against model by analyst Paul Riley. So, yeah. Definitely, if you're in a wild card, it's almost essential. Essential is a funny word, but yeah, I would definitely get a Watford defender in.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, the, you know, positions 4 and 5 in your rotations, absolutely.
Definitely, it's, yeah, you have to, yeah. Cool. The only person I would consider is Igalo in your strikers.
No, 100%. That's it.
Yeah, he's the only one that's doing anything. He scored the last however many goals.
He is the attack. He's the only one that plays in the forward half.
Yeah, pretty much.
Give it to him, and then watch him run through eight people.
Yeah, That's it.
And see him go.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to West Brom. So their fixtures are fantastic. Sunderland, Norwich, Leicester, those next three are really good.
Yep.
Defence, obviously, I mean, they haven't kept a clean sheet in 2 weeks, but they will keep clean sheets. So you have to get him in. I had Johnny Evans over the weekend, and very annoying. I'm not surprised. I mean, he's known to do this. He'll play yeah. minutes, and then he'll just go off. Like, you don't
see pulled him. A hammy.
He pulled the hammy. It didn't even look like anything. He just strolls off.
He just walked off.
He just walked off. He does this, and the post match interviews and in the media, it says, oh, he's all right. He's a bit of a doubt, but there's a good chance he'll come back, and then he'll disappear for 6 weeks. And fingers crossed, he comes through this international game wing unscathed. I think
because he's picked for England too, isn't he?
Northern Ireland.
Oh, sorry. Yeah
no,
okay.
He's
sorry.
He plays, and I think Northern Ireland are in for a good chance of making it to the Euros. I'm pretty sure it's either they have or they're very close to it. So if he's available, he'll play. So, fingers crossed.
They've got some major injury worries, don't they? Because McCauley's done his calf, and Olsen's out for a while with an ankle.
Yeah, Olsen's gone, yeah.
And Evans just walked off. Yeah. So, I mean, Dawson's in my team. He's the only one left standing.
If I had a choice, I would have got Dawson in, but I was priced out because I didn't move quick enough in terms of the market. But, West Brom.
Do they play Brunt? Back a bit?
Yes, he's left back, he's left back at the moment.
This is a midfielder.
He's a midfielder. It's pretty annoying, but whatever.
Stay away from him,
He's a position in the opposite, out of position type thing. Attack, just probably not. I mean, if Berahino at a pinch, but
that was just so terrible against Crystal Palace. There was no go forward. Berahino was wasteful.
Yeah.
Rondon didn't do much.
He's a lump.
He's been disappointing. I was looking at him really closely at one point.
He looked pretty good. Like when they play, I think it was against Chelsea. Yeah. He looked good, and then he's just a bit of a lump now. He's not really doing anything.
They're not combining well at all, and there's no creativity in midfield. They do look really well organised in defence under the Pulis model, and they've got a good keeper. So. You know, I'd just be looking them at defenders at defence right now. Crystal Palace 2-0 was very decisive.
Yeah, I think it's a big loss for them as well. I mean, I predicted nil all for that one. That's disappointing for them. Pulis would have been disappointed. I think that's the kind of game where Pulis, you'd think he would go in there and he would settle his troops and. They'd really fight for that clean sheet, but they didn't, and so they lost, and Johnny Evans went off injured, which was really annoying. All right.
Yeah.
West Ham. Yeah, I mean...
Payet.
Just Payet, that's it. I mean, I wouldn't...
I wouldn't get defence in.
Probably not.
You know, Creswell's a great provider of crosses, and he's scoring okay.
Yeah.
Adrian's overpriced, I think, at 5.
They're all. There's no. I don't think there's any 4.5s in the defence at the moment. I don't think. Jenkinson's 5. Reed's 5. Tompkins is 5. I'm pretty sure. And Cresswell's 5.5. I think. So it's
just overpriced. Just don't love him at 5.
And nah, overpriced. Cresswell's
obviously the pick, but I just don't like him at 5-6.
No. Overpriced. I mean, and a lot of people were getting them in. Because, you know, I think they're a bit deceptive. They appeared to be playing well. Their underlying numbers were not good. I mean, but Payet is the man. He's the only guy.
Payet.
Yeah, I would consider. And he's a machine. He's such a good player.
8.1 now, sitting on 59. I think he's the second highest FPL scorer behind Mahrez.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He started at 7.5. He's up to 8.1. You know, got 3 bonus points. The goal should have had an assist, but I think Jelovic really blasted over the bar at point blank. When he whips the balls in, they've got so much curl.
Yeah.
You see the ball in slow motion.
Yeah. It's
the revolutions per minute.
Mind-blowing
what he does on those crosses in. It just, plays havoc with defences. And they just got to get sorted out up front. So Sako and, you know, I'd like to see Andy Carroll. I know he's been injured, but I'd love to see a little bit more of him, you know, coming on the end of some of these crosses.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Sako's stats, Sako's stats are very good.
Yeah, they are good.
So I wouldn't, I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, I think just pay it. He's just the one at the moment. And the one I could, but yeah, you should have him in already.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, saying that, I only brought him in this week, so I mean, probably a little bit late to the party. But you need him. He's a fantastic player. Okay, so that concludes part two. We'll move on to part three. So this is the time where Bakes and I have devised our own wildcard team, and we'll just run through it and discuss some of our choices. So Bakes, if you can make a start if you want.
So, yeah, I'll run through them relatively quickly because we've discussed most of them. I think, you know, you've really got to work out what your strategy is. And I think that, you know, it's time to abandon a defence-led FPL setup. Yeah. The first 4 weeks or so, you know, it was all defenders. It was the Kolarovs and the Sagners from City getting a lot of points. And I think, you know, sometimes you check out the All-Stars team on FPL, you see, it actually had, I think, four defenders for the first five or six weeks. Now it's gone to a 3-4-3. So it took quite a while. But, you know, you're really going to be looking at 3-4-3 or 3-5-2. And I'll explain what I mean by that. But I've really emphasised the attacking half here. So bear in mind, this is a team to get me through to the new year where you'd obviously wildcard again. But I've gone really cheap on – I've gone fairly cheap on defenders. Yeah. So I've got Dawson, the West Brom defender. He's at 5. I've got Dyer. Now, I like Dyer because he's, as I said, he's just playing out of position further up the field as in the double pivot role for Tottenham. He's got two goals already, makes key tackles, interceptions. He's got great stats, you know, 3.4 tackles, 2.6 interceptions, a block, and he gets the points for clean sheets as well. So I just think he's going to be a player when it comes to bonus points and can score the odd goal, especially from set pieces. He's a big tall guy. My third and fourth are guys that would swap depending on the fixture. Now I've gone Papa Suare from as a cheap entry into the Crystal Palace defence at 4.5. He's playing 90 minutes. They've just conceded 8 goals all year, and he can venture up the field and has an assist and 2 cleans. My fourth defender is another cheap in Marino, and I'd switch him with Suare depending on the fixtures. So he averages 2 key passes and 1.1 crosses per game. So he's there to generate assists, very attack-minded. And he's in a good team on paper. He's in Liverpool on paper. And my fifth defender is just a 4.0 target who'd never get on the field. So I've really freed up a lot of cash. Sorry, my keeper would be Butland, and Hennessy would be my second keeper. Yep. So I'd get 0.1 by ditching my 4.0 keeper and then bringing in Hennessy at 3.9. So I freed up a lot of cash to spend on my midfield. Now, I am working on a 3-5-2 philosophy because Walcott plays up front and Walcott's in my team. So Walcott, my midfield is Payet, Sanchez, Mahrez, Silva, and Walcott.
Yeah.
So don't have to elaborate too much. Payet is coming second in the comp. Sanchez is on fire. He's having over five shots a game, 3 dribbles. He's got 5 goals, 2 assists, gets bonus points. The underlying stats were always there. Now he's scoring. Mahrez, I'm going to keep my eye on him, make sure he can play out the season. You can always downgrade. If he runs out of steam, always downgrade Mahrez and upgrade a forward. But for now, he just has to be there. David Silva, I've got a man crush, so he has to be there. And Theo Walcott is there. And it looks like I'm doubling up in midfield. But really, as I said, he's my third striker, just happens to be lining up as a midfielder. I've obviously got Aguero. I've got Lukaku up front, Aguero and Jerome. And obviously, the idea would be that I wouldn't play Jerome. He would be my bench man, so it'd be 3-5-2. So I'm doubling up on City with Aguero and Silva. I'm doubling up on Sanchez and Walcott. I've got Lukaku there because of the great run of fixtures. I've got Payet there because his form's irresistible. And Mahrez. The strategy would be, you know, if Mahrez drops off, I could upgrade Jerome or I could upgrade Lukaku. So Mahrez come down to like a Westwood from Aston Villa or Drinkwater.
Yeah.
And Payet, again, Payet, if he loses form, you've got guys like Barkley, Mane gets an honourable mention. I'd love to have Mane in my side somewhere. I'd love to have six midfielders. But that would be what I'd be doing. It's pretty aggressive. But, you know, I'm going okay, but I'm not killing it. So that'd be the way I'd go right now.
Awesome. Yep, no, that's good. There's certainly the 3-5-2 is definitely viable. I was in my overall strategy for my team, I was considering going to that structure, potentially rotating the fifth midfielder and my third striker. But now with Sanchez and Aguero exploding, that I've sort of thrown that idea at the window. I mean, if I was wildcarding, I'd probably consider it. But yeah, I think so. For my team, I've gone, the structure will be primarily 3-4-3. I've got Butler and Tennessee. I've got Kolarov, who I'd play. So now, moving on to defense, I've got Kolarov, who I play every week. I've got Bertrand. Is it Neom from Watford? Alan Romeo Neom, cheap Watford defender.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. Craig Dawson and Suare from Palace, same as you. So yeah, similar setup to you. I play Kolarov every week, and I'd probably rotate Bertrand, Neom, Dawson, and Suare depending on the fixtures. And they rotate pretty well. Like, my aim would be to have two good fixtures from those four. And they rotate pretty well apart from, I think it's game week 12. And I think I'd have to play one of them against Liverpool away. So right, they'll probably concede. But for the rest of those fixtures, there's always two good fixtures. I wouldn't be scared of playing even Bertrand every game week. And I'd still might do that. So yeah, that would be my defense. So yeah, playing three at the back. My midfielders, Sanchez as the big one, Payet, Mahrez. I would have De Bruyne, and my fifth midfielder would be Drinkwater. At this point, I mean, he got in three games. He got three assists in a row. Like, that's pretty good for a fifth midfielder. I just think, really under the radar. His ownership's really low. I think he's a good fifth midfielder.
I agree. I had Drinkwater all the way, and then I had a look at Westwood because I saw him take a couple of corners.
He's on set pieces. So, yeah.
Yeah, 2.1 key passes a game, which is a better stat than Drinkwater. So
yeah, no, that's a good stat.
Either one, you can't go wrong. 4.5.
Yep. So, that's my fourth. I'll be playing four midfielders every game. And then I've got Aguero, Pella, and Vardy at this point. I think I like Pella and I like Vardy. I think, and I'll probably, in a couple of gamings, I'll probably consider bringing in Lukaku for someone, maybe. So, if I had a wild card, that is what I would probably do. So yeah, there we go.
I like your team better.
yours is all right.
I want to start again.
That's all right. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly validity in the 3-3-5-2. I just think, it's good value. I mean, Vardy's good value. And yeah, so I think eventually as the season goes, I think the 3-4-3, traditionally that's been the formation. This season, I think there was a season a couple of seasons ago and the 3-5-2 was coming in as well, but eventually the points start to regress and get back to the norm, and the big players sort of start to do the business again. And I think the big players have Sanchez, Aguero, Silva, De Bruyne's come in. They're the big boys, and they're playing to fire. And if Chelsea decide to start playing again, we'd need people would need another wild card, because people are going to start to freak out again. They're going to look to get in Costa and Hazard. So I think to give you a good balance to get one of those players in the 3-4-3 might be the way to go. But I still like 3-5-2. I think it's risky going either way still. I think change is good. I think the 3-5-2 is certainly a good option.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right.
Well, interesting.
Yeah. So
good luck with your wild cards, everyone.
Yeah, that's right. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you got something out of it. We certainly enjoy having these conversations. So yeah, that concludes our episode for tonight. So thanks for joining me again, Bakes.
No worries, mate. Love it. Cool. Fantastic. Hope people are enjoying it.
Yeah, I think they are. We got a few listens last episode. I think this episode's going well as well. So I'll hopefully get a few listens. All right, thanks for that, guys. We will see you after the next game week. All right, see you in 2 weeks' time.
Okay.